This is Gary Wakefield, and you're listening to Queer Life Stories. Today's episode is the first couple interview that we've done on Queer Life Stories. First, you'll hear from Adam and then his partner, Jaden.
My name's Adam. I'm 19 and I identify as gay. I grew up in a small town in Queensland, Toowoomba. It was not the best.
And how long have you been away from Toowoomba?
So I moved 5 years ago.
So what was your family like?
Well, my mum, she was very supportive from a young age. She let me do whatever I wanted. My dad wasn't there much. He was, out of the picture, not really caring about me. So to replace my dad, I had my granddad and my uncle, which have both passed away, which hurt me a lot because they were there more than my dad. But that's really all the support I had apart from my sister. She hated me but loved me. But that's normal for sisters, I guess.
Was she around your age?
She's 1 year older than me.
So yeah, pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah. So were you close when you were really young?
Not really. I think from memory, my mum said we were pretty close when we were young, but then when we got to teenagers, it just sort of broke down and we hated each other's guts.
What about now?
Well, now that I've moved away and I'm not so in her face all the time, she's there. We've reconnected. Talk to her all the time. She asks me for advice on which wedding dress to pick and whether she looks nice, whether she's done her makeup properly, how she should style her hair, which is... I don't know why she asks me that. I'm not good at that.
When did you first start to discover your sexuality?
I think it would have been... here we go. It's testing my memory. Maybe grade 5. Well, I didn't really find myself attracted to girls. I would just look at them and think nothing. And then when I looked at boys, well, it was a bit more... happy with my feelings.
So who was the first person that you told once you realised you were gay?
So it would have been my friends. I told them first because they were pretty close to me. But then after I spoke to them, I told my mum and broke down in tears, not expecting what she'd say, which was strange. Well, she told me that she knew that I was gay from a young age, since I was born. She could tell, and she told my dad that, and he just, wasn't too agreeable about it. But yeah, she was pretty well handled with it. I don't know what I was expecting, considering she was dating a female. For so many years, I didn't know why I was expecting something different. But I knew that at the time it had to be said and I had to tell somebody.
So how old were you when you came out to your mum?
Might have been 14?
What was school like where you were in Toowoomba?
Not the best. I was bullied since grade 1 because I took a Barbie doll to school in grade 1, and that followed me all the way up until I left school, which is kind of ridiculous because I was in grade 1 and you do stupid crap in grade 1. It's like not expected to follow you, but it followed me all the way through primary school and school did nothing about it. It was always my fault that I was getting bullied. It was really bad. Verbal up until high school. And then people that didn't even go to primary school with me, they started hanging out with the people that would bully me from primary school, and that was it. Everybody just sort of ganged up on me. And that led to physical attacks, like being punched in the face. I was walking back to class one day and I had people gang me up in a circle and bash me up, and had people chase me around the school, threatening to bash me. I can't recall the amount of times that I went to the office and they did nothing. They said, oh, keep reporting it and we'll look at expelling them, but nothing ever happened. My mum went in there. She practically abused every single principal that walked in that door, to the point that they left. And yeah, it was not good. It's hard. So my coping mechanisms were a lot of self-harm to make myself feel better, which then led to suicide attempts. And to be honest, and it may sound tacky, with my suicide attempts, both times they were failed attempts. And I have this distinct feeling that my granddad was there stopping me, because both times I was just brought back unaware. And yeah, my granddad was always there, so. When I was in high school, there was not really anybody to talk to apart from online, and that was all practically downhill. I had countless attempts at finding a boyfriend where it would last 2 days and then end, or I'd have exes that would dump me for my ex, or make out with people on social media and rub it in my face, or cheat on me and say that because we never met they could, and I couldn't really open up to anybody about what was happening because I just felt like nobody would listen to me, because nobody at school ever listened to me. So I just felt like it was useless to try. I was out to myself. Nobody else knew at school except one of my really close friends. She was about the only one that knew. Everyone else was just sort of guessing and taunting. The only thing that I knew was that there was other gay people, and I knew that from my mother's partner's sister's son, Daniel. He's amazing. We were really close, always have been. He is a hairdresser. He was always there. I'd always be able to talk to him and know that everything was okay.
Alright, so we might change track a little bit and bring in your partner, Jaden. Do you want to introduce yourself?
My name's Jaden, I'm 20 years old and I identify as being gay.
And you grew up?
In Devonport. Mum moved around a lot when I was younger, so she's seen much of Australia when I was little. I have a younger brother and 3 older sisters. Relationship with my sisters was pretty good. Most of them moved out of home when I was young because they're quite older. Madison I grew up with, and my brother Lachlan. I don't really remember a time when I lived with my other two, Tamara and Amanda. We were quite close, had our clashes like normal siblings do. Usually the clashes were with Madison when Lachie and I would get into her makeup or something and wreck it. or when she had friends over, we'd terrorise them a little bit and, you know, throw fight bombs in the window at them and sit there and laugh. I was probably 6 or 7 years old, and for some reason my brother and I thought it'd be a good idea to light my sister's underwear on fire, and we nearly burnt the house down. Was not impressed. I've never lived it down. I probably hear about it once a week. School was good. I went to a Devonport primary. There wasn't that much bullying in primary school. Our principal, Mr. Downs, assistant principal, Mr. Downs, was quite on top of that. And I think his size kind of made the kids intimidated to not bully. Like, he was a gentle giant, but very intimidating because he was probably 6'7". And built like a brick shit house. But he was very kind, and you could go to him about anything. So yeah, primary school was good. High school, not so good. I sort of had a pretty bad experience from something that happened earlier in my life, which then come out when I was about 14. And then I was like bullied at school for it because I don't know why.
Because kids are assholes.
Yeah, and they just thought it would be a good thing to do. I left high school partly from the bullying, but also to care for my mum. She got quite sick, so I did a majority of my schooling online through the Tasmanian eSchool. And they were very supportive. They ensured that I got my grade 10. I then tried to do year 11, 12 at Dunn College, but mum just got too sick. And from not being in a high school setting, I found it was quite overwhelming to have a lot of people around when I was used to just doing work on my computer. So it was very overwhelming. So that didn't last long. I think I was there for probably 4 months.
You mentioned something that happened earlier. Did you want to talk about that?
So when I was about 9, I was sexually assaulted by another male. And it created a lot of stigma and confusion, because when I got to high school, when I was about 14, I discovered, you know, that I was attracted to boys and not attracted to girls. And then, you know, when I went come forward to the police about it, obviously it was quite a few years after, that stigma stuck, and it was hard for me to tell the police what had happened. From the fear of me knowing that I was gay and that I was actually sexually abused by another male. And then that caused some problems, because the police sort of suggested that it was, may have been like experimental, but this person was quite a few years older than I was. And like at that time I didn't know, because, you know, I was only 9, I wasn't interested in, you know, sex and that sort of stuff. And then I feel that stigma around that made it quite hard for me to come forward about what had happened. And then one of the person's family members had spread that around the school, that I was a liar, and I was accusing this person wrongly and nothing had actually happened. And that was also part of the reason why I left school, because I couldn't. It was hard enough to come forward to the police and live it for that, you know, that few hours, and then it come out in school and then have to live it for months and possibly years if I hadn't left. To this day, I still don't talk to anyone really that I went to school with. I just find it easier to avoid them. So I noticed much that, like, I wasn't attracted to females. Like, I had female friends, and I just didn't find myself attracted to them. And then, like, I had some male friends, and I kind of felt a little bit attracted to one of them, and I got very confused. And to be honest, I hated myself for quite a while because of what had happened when I was younger. And I kind of thought, well, that's why I'm attracted to males, and this is all my fault. But yeah, so discovering my sexuality was very hard. Part of my main coping mechanism was getting up and every day and trying to help different people, because I felt, you know, if I help other people, I don't have to deal with my own problems. So that led to a voluntary thing with, I was probably one of the youngest people to volunteer for Mersey Community Care. Unfortunately, I didn't last there very long. My mental health declined, and I found myself withdrawing from a lot of that stuff. So I parted ways with them. And then I got involved with Carers Tasmania because I needed some support in my caring role. And then that led to me becoming Tasmania's representative on the Australian National Young Care Action Team. And then from there, I met a lot of very interesting people, some politicians. And then I found one politician, her name was Justine Kay, and she wasn't a bullshitter, she'd tell you exactly how things were. And I never really spoke to her about any of this, but she really helped pull me out of a dark place, because there was someone I could believe in, and someone that I knew could help change the community for better, and I'd seen that in her, and it sort of pulled me out of that dark place, but I never got a chance to talk to her about it. Very inspirational lady, and amazing. How one person could do that was amazing. And then, you know, I met Adam online, really the only person I spoke to. And the only thing I really remember was falling hard and fast, and it sort of never stopped, and here we are 4 years later. He pulled me out of dark places. Pulled him out. He helped me come out, in the sense of
force.
I wouldn't say force, in the sense force, of okay. What happened was, I went and met him in Queensland because I had to go up anyway. And then, like, he decided to come home with me, and it was sort of open the door and, hey, this is my boyfriend, get over it. and it was accepted. So yeah, and then, like, Facebook I come out officially on, copped a little bit of hate, but
Amanda was there.
My sister Amanda sort of jumped down their throats and saved me from having to do that.
She's great.
She didn't care, and neither did my sister Tamara or Madison, to be honest. None of my family really cared, but Amanda sort of jumped into that defensive bigger sister role and told everyone on Facebook how it was, and if you don't like it, well, you know where the door is. So that made me feel really good. But Mum and Dad accepted it quite well as well. So I didn't have too much of a drama after that. I guess what happened was, for some reason I was friends with his cousin on Facebook.
Taylor,
yeah. And Adam popped up in, like, the suggested friends and started talking. And one thing led to another, and then, like, the next thing I know, 3 weeks later, I've met him in Queensland. And then, you know, it was sort of like love at first sight. A lot of people say it's when you first meet your partner is like a honeymoon, like type setting, you know, everything's calm and nice, and you sort of just keep falling in love and it only lasts a few months. Well, people are wrong, because it's now been 4 years and we're still very much in love and still falling very fast.
And fight a bit.
Fighting as well. Yeah, sometimes, you know, that happens in every relationship.
It does.
But, you know, we've helped each other out of dark places. And well, what actually sort of happened was his mum said, well, why don't you come and stay here? So, you know, went from hotel to staying with Adam. And she did exactly what a perfectly reasonable mum would do, you know, split us up in rooms and say you can't sleep together, which is perfectly fine. We only just met, so, you know. And then, yeah, like, maybe a week after that, he's like, I'm out. Let's leave.
But the splitting us up in rooms didn't really help. When she was asleep, I sneaked down to the back room for cuddles.
I'd wake up and he's standing there like, I want cuddles. I'm like, oh God.
It was only a small bed too, so...
Yeah, and I think, yeah, like a few days after that, he decided he wanted to leave.
If I had to sort of leave to get away from all the crap at school, because it was hard, I was not in the right state of mind, but yeah, felt like I had to be with Jaden and just sort of up and left. Yeah.
Before that happened though, I did mention we should tell your mum what you want to do, and he decided not to, so I felt that's something I couldn't force him to do. Which did cause some problems.
And she reacted a way that any parent would.
Yeah, and I don't blame her for the way she reacted either.
We got on a bus and went to Brisbane and got caught by the police because mum did what any reasonable mother would do.
Well, we didn't get caught by the police in Brisbane City. What had actually happened was we got on a train and went to my auntie's house, who lives in Alexander Hills. And then she said, hey, you should probably contact the police because your mum would have... Because she was texting Adam saying, oh, I've contacted the police, don't know where you are. So yeah, we got to my auntie's house because I couldn't organise a flight until a few days after because it was just all booked out. And Adam's mum, Marie, God bless her, texts Adam and's like, where the F are you? You know, like, I don't know where you are. Adam didn't reply. She's like, I've now reported you missing to police. And Adam's like, oh, I don't care. And I'm like, you need to do something. And then my auntie comes up and says, hey, we'll just call the police and let them know where you are. So, you know, we did that. They come around and made sure he was okay, and
they told me they couldn't force me to go back home because of my age.
Anyway, Adam decided after that to go back home for
2 days.
That lasted 2 days, but I flew home the day he went back home.
Yeah.
And I was stopped at the airport because the police hadn't finalised the thing and my name had popped up. And the federal police had stopped me and they were asking me questions and saying you need to come with us because there's a missing person and you've been mentioned. You know, I stood my ground and stood up to them, you know. I wasn't going back with them because I didn't know where I was going to end up if I did. Well, they had no grounds to hold me on anything because there was no suspicion of an actual crime I'd committed. And then, you know, one of my friends got involved because I give them a call And she had explained to them, you know, what had happened was perfectly legal if the other person had decided to leave home and that. And then, you know, the police went away and I got on the airplane. Then Adam contacted the police in Toowoomba again.
Yeah, I told them that I was leaving so that if Mum called them, you know, they had record that I said that I was leaving.
And he gave them my address so they knew where he was going to.
Yep.
And he left phone numbers and all that sort of stuff.
I went to the bus stop. Jaden got me a bus ticket. Went to the bus stop. I think 7 o'clock in the morning. Everybody thought I was leaving for school. So I got my uniform. Proceeded to walk out the front door. And walked the normal way I'd go to school. Everybody thought I was going to school. Ended up at the bus stop. Took my uniform off, threw that in the bin. Don't know why, just didn't want it. Threw that in the bin, got on the bus, got to the airport, waited around for a plane, got on the plane, got to Tassie, and I think everyone started calling me because I didn't go home. It was like 7 o'clock at night, and I told them where I was, and they were extremely confused as to how I got here so quick.
I think they're under the impression that it takes days to get to Tasmania and not like 2 hours, so they had not known what had happened. And then his mum sort of got a little bit angry, which is understandable. Any parents going to do that?
She did call the house phone a couple of times,
expressing her concerns why she was a little bit intoxicated. But, yeah. You know, I still think she had done what any mother would have done, or any parent for that fact. You know, for the way our relationship had started, and the suffering we had actually put her through, she is amazing. Like, you know, I take my hat off to her, because, you know, for what we'd actually put her through by doing, like, leaving the way Adam had left, and, you know, my influence and decision not to tell her in that as well, she's always been supportive after that, and supported us. You know, if we need something, we can call her, and like she fixes it straight away. So to have that sort of, you know, good relationship with Adam's mum, considering what had happened, is actually quite amazing. So yeah, it's nice to have.
I do miss my family a bit, mainly my sister, because we hated each other but loved each other.
It's funny.
It's always going to be the way.
You don't know what you have with your family until you're not there anymore.
There's only, I think, a certain amount of people in my family that are class as family. Two of them are gone. I lost my granddad, and he was always there for me. That was a tragic loss. He got dementia really bad and couldn't remember who anybody was. Led my grandmother to have to put him in a nursing home because she just couldn't look after him anymore. Then a couple of years ago, I lost the only other father figure I had, which was my uncle, in the last moments of his life, the days before he did what he did. He was so happy, and yeah, and sounds tacky, but he was in hospital and it was a matter of time before he passed away, and everybody was waiting for it, but there was one thing stopping him, and I'm fairly confident me and my mum both agree on this. He was waiting for me to go up there and say goodbye before he, yeah,
the Northwest Coast is not very gay friendly, and the gay people that are on the Northwest Coast keep it very shut behind closed doors. I think it's just because of the way people were brought up here. It's like new to them and they don't understand it. But that's no excuse to abuse people over it. And like my sisters had said to me, you know, if you'd just told us, you could have spoke to us, you know. And it's easy for people to say that when they're not in your position, you know, when the shoe's on the other foot. So, yeah, I didn't really have much support from the, like, gay community because I just didn't know who was around. I don't think it is getting better on the Northwest Coast. I believe people can't get over themselves and their own beliefs. You know, they think being gay is something that can be cured or that it's a choice. But, you know, I don't think I remember choosing to be gay. I don't think any gay person remembers choosing, oh, I'm going to wake up, so, you know, let's just be gay. That doesn't happen. You know?
Do you have gay friends at all?
To be honest, the only like official other gay person we've met on the Northwest Coast would be you.
Oh really?
Yeah. Okay. There's like no one else that we know of. I think people on the Northwest Coast, you know, should be more, less judgmental. Even if you don't agree with it, maybe just like keep quiet. You know, you do have your right to free speech, but if you're going to say something that's going to hurt someone personally, like attack them personally, I don't think that's the sort of thing you should be doing. But I think the Northwest Coast does need events. There's probably a lot of young gay people or young sexually confused teenagers or people in our community that might need an event like that to help them get through what they're going through and connect with services that can help them. And educate them.
Do you feel like you have limited yourself because of your sexuality?
Of course.
Of fear of being...
Of course I have. Yeah. I've missed out on some pretty big opportunities because of it.
Somewhat. I can't exactly express myself as much as I'd like to. But yeah, that's why I can't wait to go to Queensland for my holiday, because I'm going to go to one of them drag shows in drag and I'm going to parade around. I'm going to make it worth the while. It's going
to
be great.
It's just sad that he has to limit it to when we go away and not to when we're here. It's not fair.
Well, it's hard. We try and talk to people on Facebook because we're sort of trying to make friends, and you get all these people that pop up.
Instantly goes to sex, and it's so annoying. It's like you tell them you have a partner, and they're like, they don't care.
Three times, and it just led to some other crap.
Old guy was pressuring me for photos. I'm like, I have a partner. He's like, oh, we'll send photos of both of you then. I'm like, this is disgusting and gross. And he's like, oh, just send photos. I'm like, no. And like, I blocked him and he made another account just to harass me again.
Yeah. But it's really hard to find decent people to talk to.
Yeah. And you're constantly like on guard because you don't know what they're going to say or do next. Be you. And
fuck what everybody else says.
There is light at the end of that tunnel. It might not look like it, but there is. And
there's always people that'll help you. You just gotta know who to talk to, and they'll be there.
Talk to anyone that you can trust. But the main thing is that it does get better. It might get worse before it gets better, but just hang on.
It always gets better.
You will get there.
If you are struggling with your own mental health, please contact Lifeline on 131114 or Beyond Blue on 1300 224636. Both services are available 24/7. If you would like to tell your story, share your experiences, or would just like to get in touch, you can email me at queerlifestories@outlook.com. You can also find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just search for Queer Life Stories. This podcast is a no-budget, one-man operation to produce, but you can support this podcast by subscribing to us at Patreon. That's patreon.com/queerlifestories. If you're listening in Tasmania and would like support regarding your sexuality, gender, or intersex status, contact Working It Out on 6231 1200 or find them on Facebook. QLife provide anonymous and free LGBTI peer support and referral for people across Australia wanting to talk about sexuality, gender identity, relationships, and more. They're available 3 p.m. to midnight every day on 1800 184 527, or you can web chat with them at qlife.org.au. You can hear future episodes of Queer Life Stories on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts from. Please follow, subscribe, rate, review, and share. We will be back soon. Thank you for listening. Take care of yourself and each other.